Good morning. If you would, go ahead and turn your Bible to Galatians chapter 5 as we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit. Nine different types of fruit the Spirit produces in our lives if we're walking with the Spirit, if we're allowing the Spirit to do His work in our lives. We can hinder His work. We can quench the Spirit. And we're told not to do that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In verse 19, and hopefully you're not doing that. Hopefully you're allowing the Spirit to produce His wonderful fruit in your life. So today we're looking at patience or long-suffering. This is one a lot of us need to develop in our lives because many of us don't have patience. We've all heard the motto that patience is a virtue, right? And it is. And this virtue doesn't come easy for any of us. The Greek word literally means to take a long time to boil, thus long suffering. Patience is self-restraint, which does not hastily retaliate against a wrong. It is the ability to count down before blasting off. Many of us blast off before we count down. So patience is easier to define than it is to apply. And I think we all know that's true. And so waiting is a big part of life. We do a lot of waiting in life. Do you like to wait? Do you like to be put on hold? You know, you call your insurance company and say, I'm going to put you on hold. And 20 minutes later, they come back, right? Nobody wants to be on hold for 20 minutes. Nobody enjoys that. No one wants to wait in a long line at the grocery store. Children wait for Christmas. Young kids wait until they're 16 so that they can drive, or they wait until they graduate from high school. We wait to retire. Much of life is waiting. And some of you are tired of waiting for a better marriage, better health, and a better job. And so we become impatient. And that's where we get into trouble. So number one today, impatience gets us into trouble. God came to Abraham with three major promises that really sum up the Bible. Those three promises are what the Bible is all about. That God would make Abram into a nation, that He would give him a land, Israel, and that one would come through him who would bless the world. The Bible is all about those three promises. So Abraham left as God instructed him. And Abraham was 75 years old when God called him. And his wife Sarah was barren, so she couldn't have children. Yet God says, I'm going to give you a child through Sarah. And the years started to tick off. And as the years began to tick off, Abraham and Sarah got a little bit impatient. Sarah, I think, more so than Abraham. And Sarah had a bright idea. Maybe we can help God out. Maybe it's God's will that you go into Hagar and have a child through her. And that's what they did. And that ended up being a huge mistake. And if you don't believe me, just look at Israel's neighbors today. They hate Israel. All of them hate Israel. Well, those are the descendants of Ishmael. Those are the descendants. And so that ended up being a very costly mistake. So sometimes we marry too fast. You know, sometimes we find someone, we think we really love this person, we can build a life with this person, and we rush into it, and we realize, oh, I shouldn't have rushed. That was a mistake. It happens all the time. We need to learn to wait. And if we don't wait, we're going to get into trouble. We're going to get into trouble, big trouble. And as you look in the Bible, all of God's great people were great waiters. I mean, they were good waiters. For example, Abram, as we just talked about, waited 25 years to have a child. Yeah, there was a moment where they kind of got impatient, That's 25 years. That's a long time to wait for a child. Yet Abraham did, and he's called the father of the faithful. Joseph had to wait many, many years in order to be a great leader that God said he would become. But he was going to spend many years in prison. He was going to spend many years isolated from his family. But all of that, God was growing him into a great leader. Or what about David? David waited over 20 years after he was anointed to be the next king of Israel before he sat on the throne. 20 years. Hannah waited to have a child. She was a waiter. In none of these examples was God punishing his people. What God was doing, he was discipling them. And discipling takes time. You can't disciple someone overnight. Discipleship takes years. And God is discipling. God is growing these waiters. You see, God was doing something in them that was more important than what they were waiting for. All right? That's important to get. God was doing something in them that was more important than what they were waiting for. You see, God had to do a work in them before God could do a work through them. And that's the case with you and I as well. God has to do a work in us before he can do a work through us. Scripture over and over and over again tells us to wait on the Lord. And what I would say to you is this, don't waste a good wait. Don't waste a good wait. If you're waiting, don't waste it. Don't waste a good wait. You see, well, waiting develops growth in my character. God can do more than I ask, but he doesn't promise to do all that I ask. So think about that. God can do all that I ask, but he doesn't promise to do all that I ask for. If God did, the result of that would be catastrophic. We'd all be spoiled brats. Because that's what happens when parents give their kids everything they ask for. And they wonder, how did my kid turn out like that? Well, you spoiled that kid. That's how they turned out like that. You can't give a kid everything he wants. Parents make a mistake when they give their kids all that they want. Look in Romans chapter 5 real quick. Romans 5, just want to look at a couple of verses. Verses 3 and 4. Here Paul talks about how God does a work in us. This is what I'm talking about. God has to do a work in us before God can then do a work through us. God needs to change us and God needs to develop us so that we can be the right person for the job that God calls us to do. Verses 3 and 4, Paul says, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope." And so Abraham learned better how to trust God by waiting. Joseph learned how to be a great leader by waiting. David wrote his best music while he's running around for his life from Saul, the king. Hannah reached a point where she said, "God, if you give me a child, I will give that child to you." Now, she wasn't like that in the beginning. Abraham wasn't like that in the beginning. David wasn't like that in the beginning. God did a work in them. And we can see that great work. Paul learned contentment in every situation in life. Look over at Philippians chapter 4 real quick. Philippians chapter 4. And notice the Apostle Paul writes here beginning at verse 11. "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And notice that Paul said he learned these things. They didn't come natural for Paul. He learned these things. And so you can learn as well. You can learn in the difficult times of life, when life is really tough, to just wait on God and find out what God is doing in you and through you. And so, again, I would say, don't waste a good wait. Instead of saying, why God, ask, what God do you want me to learn? See, we always say, why God? Oh, why me? Why is this happening? Rather than saying, God, what is it you want to teach me? Because any circumstance we're going through is a learning opportunity, and God uses them to grow us up so that we can become the people that He wants us to be. And so, learn to ask, what God do you want me to learn? Maybe the answer is, I want you to trust me more, because maybe you're not trusting Him more. And so waiting develops growth in my character. All the while I'm waiting, God is growing me, developing me, making me into the man of God that He wants me to be, making you into the woman of God that He wants you to be. So it's important. Waiting develops growth in my character. But listen, if I'm running around, why God, why God, why God, then God can't grow me because I'm complaining and griping about what I'm going through in life rather than just seeing what God is doing in me and through me. And so, how can we go from impatience to patience? Well, number one, by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. By obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember on the day of Pentecost, Peter told that audience who asked, what do we need to do in reference to salvation? And Peter says, you need to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Notice that, the gift of the Holy Spirit. When you become a child of God, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in your life. And while He's inside of you, He can develop you. And He wants to develop you. And He wants to grow the fruit of patience in you. That fruit will not be produced on your own. You need the Holy Spirit to produce that fruit in your life. So that's the first step. Obey the gospel. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, you're never going to develop patience. Not the kind we're talking about here. It's never going to happen. This is the fruit of the Spirit. This is not the fruit of a human. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's the fruit He produces in our lives. And He can't produce it if He's not in your life. And so, by becoming a Christian, He takes up residency inside of you. And He lives inside of you, and He helps you, and He prays for you, and He helps you eradicate sin. He does all kinds of amazing things. He also produces the fruit of patience in your life. And God knows we all need the fruit of patience. We all need this fruit. Secondly, we need to pray. We need to pray. And we need to pray and ask God to work in our life. You know, sometimes we quench the Holy Spirit. We don't allow Him to do the work inside of us that He wants to do. And so, because rather than waiting on God, we blow up. And if every time you go through a difficult time and you blow up, rather than waiting on God and allowing God to develop you, you're never going to develop. Never going to happen. We have to learn to wait and trust God. Listen, if you're trusting God, it's not going to turn out bad for you. It's going to turn out good for you. We need to learn to trust God. But 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, quench not the Spirit. And it's amazing how we can just stifle the Spirit's work, just push down the work He wants to do in our lives. We don't allow Him to develop the fruit. We don't allow Him to eradicate sin in our lives. We tell Him, you know, the areas in our lives where you just can't go. This is forbidden. You're not allowed to go into this section of my life because I enjoy this sin, and I don't want you messing around with it. That's the way we act sometimes. Now, we may not blatantly say that, but that's the way we live. That's the way we live. And when we do that, we are hindering the Holy Spirit's work. We need to allow Him to have full, free reign in us to go anywhere and to change any part of us that He desires to change. And so we need to pray and we need to ask God, God, please develop the fruit of patience in me. And if you will pray that, God will develop that fruit of patience in your life. But then number three, we need to step back, detach ourselves from this impatient world. You see, we're not called to be like the world. We're called to be different from the world. And where does the Spirit come from that always has to be in the front of the line? Where does that Spirit come from? It's not from God, all right? And we think we always need to be at the front of the line, but that Spirit's not from God. That's an impatient individual. Recognize that. That's of the world. It's not of God. The world says, hurry. And so what do? Well, we hurry. Because that's what the world is doing. We are imitating the world, which we're told not to do. Right? Romans chapter 12. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, every now and then we need to just stop and see where we are. Just stop and see where we are in our walk with God, in our life with God, in reference to patience. Where are we? How well are we doing? Are we learning to wait on God? Are we continuing to run ahead of God? So I really think by obeying the gospel, praying and asking God to help develop this fruit within you, and by just stepping back and just observing the world around you, it's rushing, going every direction, it's impatient, doesn't wait for anything, and we can get caught up into that. So we need to be careful. We just need to reflect and say, man, am I living like the world? Or am I living the way God is calling me to live? We need to stop and reflect at times because we just go on and we don't give any consideration sometimes to how we're living. It does us well to just stop, observe, look around, and see how we're doing. Are we following the world? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to grow us and produce fruit in us? And so this morning, as we close out, we always want to offer an invitation. We always give people an opportunity to obey the gospel. You know, the Bible makes it very clear. The Bible says that we've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. And our sin, Isaiah 59 verse 2, has separated us from God. That's what the Bible teaches. Our sin has come between us and God. But God, being the amazing God that He is, sent His Son Jesus. He died on the cross, paid our sin debt, so that separation could be bridged. The Bible says that He died the just for the unjust to bring us to God. The whole purpose of His death was to bring us to God. To bring us back into a relationship with God. Maybe you don't have a relationship with God. You've never obeyed the gospel. This morning, you have an opportunity to obey it. This morning, you have an opportunity to respond to God's invitation. Not our invitation. This is the Lord's invitation. God is saying, whoever will, let him come. If your desire is to come, we hope and pray you'll do that as we stand and sing.